Already, it's been lost so long since we learned Saita last. I think we left off Chav Dalet and Aleph. I'm not sure. I think we're in the middle of the Mishnah. Yeah. Rabbi Gold, who participates in the Shir regularly, has Yartzeit tonight for his father. So we dedicate the learning Lezecha Mishnas, Rabbi Moshe Shimon, Rabbi Moshe Shimon. His father passed away before he was born. Yeah. So we left off the Mishnah Chav Dalet and Aleph on the top. I think we're about 8 lines down. Mesa balei machaloi shasu. What do you do when you have a suffix moment? Let's say there's a suffix if I owe you money or not. So the din is hamoitze mechaber. All of her, whoever is muchzor keeps the money. You don't say achloiku. You don't say if I'm going to keep the money, if I really owe you the money is gezel. So I should say suffix deraisa luchum. I should give you the money. Then if you're holding on to the money, maybe it's gezel for you, so you'll give back the money. Keep on giving back. Each one has a suffi gezel, give it back. So you don't say yachloiku. You don't say yachloiku. The din is hamoitze mechaber olafara. Whoever is muchzok keeps the money. So here there's a machloikus b'sham and b'sil. What's the din like this? A woman, if a woman was mizane, outright mizane, and she ruined the marriage, you have to get divorced. The din is that whenever a couple gets divorced, the husband has to pay ksuba. Even if it's a no-fault divorce. They fell in love, and 25 years later they fall out of love. And they get divorced, and the din is the husband has to pay ksuba. The only time the husband does not have to pay ksuba is the Mishnah in ksubas, if it's clearly the fault of the wife for ruining the marriage. For example, the Mishnah gives, she refuses to go to mikveh, and they can't live together. Or she's feeding the husband machilosu she'ena mu'usar. She's feeding the husband tray for food. She doesn't want to give kosher food, or she doesn't want to have any children. They get married, it was self-understood they're going to have children. They never discussed it explicitly. But it's self-understood. The religious people are going to have children. And then she doesn't want to have any children. She wants to practice birth control. So it's her fault that her husband, or if she curses her shviga, she curses her in-laws, the kalelos yoldo b'fonam, she curses out the parents of her husband in the presence of the husband. So she's ruining the marriage. That's considered ruining the marriage. Let's say the wife decides she doesn't want to keep Shabbos anymore. So that doesn't ruin the marriage. The husband feels uncomfortable being married to a woman that doesn't want to keep Shabbos. So if he wants to divorce her, that's his decision. So he has to pay her ksuba.
What about that Makar Shabbos? Can't touch the wine.
Okay, so maybe that'll be a problem.
The husband does all these things.
No, the husband. Yeah. No, the husband always pays ksuba. The din is.
No. Can she force him to give her ksuba? Give again.
Yeah, he's ruining the marriage. He's ruining the marriage. So whenever he ruins the marriage, so she can force him to give a get. Yeah, yeah. Whenever the husband is unreasonable and is making life miserable for his wife, then the bezel will force him to give a get. If the husband acts improperly. So the Mishnah has the husband always pays ksuba whenever the couple gets divorced, unless he can ascertain that it's the fault of the wife. What says the fault of the wife? She's not cooking kosher food. She doesn't want to go to mikveh. She doesn't want to have any children. She's insulting the in-laws. So that's considered ruining the marriage. So in all those cases, if she's responsible for ruining the marriage, then she doesn't get the ksuba. So here we're talking, the wife is not a soita vadai. We're talking, the whole mesicht is a soita sofik. There was kinui ustira. So kinui ustira, since bizman shebes amigdush hayakayam, She can go to the Beis Hamikdash, she'll drink the Mayim HaMarim, and she'll be Moteris Labayla. So just because she violated the Kinui, and she went ahead and did a stira, that's not considered ruining the marriage, because there's a way to resolve the issue by going to the Beis Hamikdash. See, here the Mishnah has a Shaila, Mesu Baleihem, Acheloi Sarasu. There was Kinui Astira, and the husband has the ability to take his wife to the Beis Hamikdash, and then the husband dies before they had a chance to have her drink the Mayim HaMarim. So it's a suffix. It's a suffix. Did she, was she mizana? Was she not mizana? A saita suffix is a suffix. Did she ruin the marriage? I say she didn't ruin anything. She didn't ruin the marriage. At the time that she did the stira, time she violated the warning, the kino is the hasra of the husband. Time she violated the warning of the husband was still alive, and there's still a Beis Hamikdash, and it lends itself to be resolved. So she didn't yet do anything that made it impossible. She didn't yet ruin the marriage. Theoretically, it was still a possibility to go to the basement. Then all of a sudden, the husband dies. So now it's a suffix. Did she ruin the marriage? Did she not ruin the marriage? So what do you do when there's a suffix moment? So the din is, So the machlekes b'shav and b'shilil is who is considered muchzah. So b'shilil say we pass like b'shilil. The money is in the husband's bank account. So the money is called the husband is called the muchzah. So, oh, and b'shav I hold that since there's a shiba nechassim, whenever anybody gets married, so you give a ksuba. You write in the ksuba all the nechassim are meshubed. Even we are even meshabed the metaltalei magav karka. And the din is the Mishnah has in Ksubas, even if the husband didn't give his wife a Ksuba, Ksuba is a Tanai Bezn. Afal Pishaloi Kasav law, it's a Takonas Chachamim, Hefke Bezn, Hefke, they made a Takona, that the wife is entitled to the Ksuba and there's a Sheba Nechosim on it. So Beshamai are of the opinion, Beshamai Yomrim, that whenever you have, let's say, a Shtar Halvor, or over here you have a Shtar Ksuba, over here you have a Shtar Ksuba, even if there is no Ksuba, it's a Takonas Chachamim. That there's a Sheba Nechassim. So whenever there's a Sheba Nechassim, what does it mean there's a lien on his property, that she has a right to collect the Ksuba? What do you mean, Sheba Nechassim? Sheba Nechassim means that the Nechassim of the husband are Knuyim to the wife with respect to Gviya. It belongs to the wife with respect to Gviya. It means like this. Let's say the Loiva borrows $100,000 from the Malva. So there's a Milval pair. If he buys $100,000, there are witnesses watching, but they never gave a shtar. And then if the Levi gives a shtar to the Malva, then it becomes a milva bishtar. What's the difference between a milva bishtar and milva alpeh? So the main difference is a shiba nechassim. If it's only a milva alpeh, then you can only collect from the Levi. If the Levi sells the nechassim to the lekuchas, then you can't collect from the lekech. But if you have a milva bishtar, and the shtar says, all the karkos are meshubed, and even if they didn't write it in the shtar, the Gemara says, Achrayis, if it doesn't say in the shtar that there's Sheba Nechassim, is a Torah Sefer. We assume that it's an obvious mistake, and it's self-understood that there is Sheba Nechassim. Unless you have a Milva Bishtar and says that there's no Sheba Nechassim. It says, Beferish, no Sheba Nechassim, Nish Tiz Nish. But if it doesn't say one way or the other, so we paskin Achrayis, lack of Achrayis was not written into the shtar Halvor, and the Loiva gave a shtar to the Malva. That says, I owe you $100,000, which you lent me on Rosh Chodesh Adar last week, and it doesn't say, Kol Nechassim Mishabad M'chayvzeh. That line that's missing was a simple oversight. The Sefer forgot, Achrai is to a Sefer, so it's considered as if the Shtar does have Sheba Nechassim. So why does the Malva have the right to collect from the Lekuchas? The Lekuchas never borrowed the money from the Malva. The Loiva borrowed the money from the Malva. The answer is he has a lien on his property. What does it mean, a lien? So the Ritvoin Kedushin has this on Daf Yugimel, and the Sivas writes like that. Sheba Nechassim means that the karkoes of the Loiva are kinuyim to the Malva with respect to Gvir. If it'll come out that the Loiva dies and there's nowhere to collect, or the Loiva sold the property and there's no assets under the hand of the Tachas Yad HaLoiva to collect the halvoya from, so we consider it as if the nechassim of the loiva were kenuyim to the malva. That's why he has a right to take away from the lokuchas. So b'shamay are of the opinion that shtar chayv haimid ligvos is kegavi domi. So the malva is considered the muchzok on the nechassim hamshabad. And we still say, but sof kol sof it's mechusu gavayna. Sof kol sof, the malva didn't collect it yet. Bottom line, it's tachas yad haloivis. Even though the malva has sheba nechassim, it's considered muchzak biyad haloivis. It's not considered muchzak biyad malva. So the same machlokes by halvoya applies to a ksuba as well. Beishamay are of the opinion, if meso balei machaloi shasu, the husband dies before he had a chance to bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, before she had a chance to drink the mayim amarim. So it says, Sofik, was she mezana, was she not mezana? We don't know the facts. So if she was mezana, she ruined the marriage. She made it impossible to live with her husband. Then she loses the ksuba. If she's innocent, she was not mezana. So she didn't ruin the marriage. And now you can't drink the mayim amarim. Once the husband is alive, it's not shach to drink mayim amarim. So does she have the right to collect the ksuba? Once the husband died, so it's not shach to collect, not shach to drink the mayim amarim. So that's the shaila who's called muchzuk. So b'sham I say notlos ksuba veloshosas. The husband's dead, so there's no shtias mayim amarim. But b'sham I hold that the wife, since she has a shtar ksuba, and the ksuba means sheba nechassim, that means the nichse habal, the karka of the baal is meshuba to the wife, means kone b'miktsas. It's a kinyan b'miktsas to the wife. So she's called a muchzuk. Muchzuk means possession is 9/10 of the law. So muhsik means, is it bishusi, is it bishuscha? Whose bishus is it in? So Bashamay hold that it's in the bishus of the malve. It's in the bishus of the isha. Whoever has the shimon chasim, it's considered bishusam. They're considered muhsik. And we pass like bishilam. No, bishilamim, not so. Lo natel k'zibas. Bishilam says, strange lotion. The husband died, so we give her an option. Idi oshosos, olo natlos k'zibas. Either she drinks, and if she doesn't drink, then she doesn't collect it. What do you mean, oshosos? The husband is not alive. She can drink. So the Gemara said, that's what it means. Since she cannot drink the maimamarim, so she loses the k'zibas, because she's not muhsik. The husband is the muhsik. Husband died, so the yorsha ba'ala the muhsik. So she has no right to collect. This is a big machlekes b'sham v'sil and shas, many other mishnayos. See, there happens to be over here talking about a ksuba, who's the muhsik, the husband or the wife, on collecting the ksuba. But you have another mesichtes in Bava Basra, other places. It's a machlekes b'sham v'sil by a malva and a loiva. The malva has a shtar chayiv, and the karka of the loiva is mishuba to the malva. So b'sham hold that the malva is called the muhsik. Misil hold not true that the loiva is called the muhsik, because sof kol sof. The malva didn't collect yet. It's mechusa govaina. Machlekes bayadah, we learned the gittin, so we had a machlekes there. Then is when Shemitah comes to an end, every seventh year is Shnas HaShemitah, so there's a pasuk in Chumash, when Shemitah comes to an end, it cancels all the chayvus. Shvi'is mishametus b'soifu. If somebody borrowed money from someone else, and Shemitah comes to an end, you don't have to pay. So what happens if the loiva borrowed $100,000 and he gave the malva shtar chayiv, and it says in the shtar chayiv, kol nachasim shibadim lachayiv zeh, there's a shiba nachasim. Malva b'shtar, and there's a shiba nachasim. So b'shama yorav the opinion, shtar chayiv haimed likvus, kigobi domi, the malva is considered mursuk. So just like the Mishnah says, hamalva schavera ala mashkin, if the malva lends $1,000 to the loiva, and the loiva gives him some piece of jewelry as a mashkin, so the din is that shmita doesn't cancel. Since the malva is holding out to the mashkin, so it's considered like a shtikl kegovi domi. So b'shamay are of the opinion, that's the Gemara in Gittin, b'shamay are in the middle of Gittin, b'shamay are of the opinion that you don't even need a prusman in such a case. Since the karka of the loiva is meshuba to the malva when you have a shtar chayiv, so shmita doesn't cancel. It's like a malva la mashkin in shviz misham tosai, so milva b'shtar in shviz misham tosai. And we don't paskin like Bishama, we paskin like Bishilo. That despite the fact that there's a milvah bishtar, and despite the fact that the shtar says, kol nechasim shibatim l'chayiv zed, the malva has a shiba nechasim, and all the karkos of the life, so the dinas hashmita still cancels.
The shtar says it's good for 10 years, it doesn't make a difference.
What he has a right to hold on to the money for 10 years.
The loan is for 10 years.
Right. That's a machlekes in the first day, at the beginning of Makkos. Maybe Shemitah only cancels when it comes to an end if the Zman HaPiron was already Higia. So since the Malva has a right to collect and then Shemitah comes to a close, so then Shemitah Mishametus is HaMilva. But if he doesn't, when Shemitah comes to a close, the 10 years are not yet up. So then the first Shemitah will not cancel. If it will make to the next Shemitah, 4, 5, 6 years later, then the next Shemitah will cancel. But that's how we paskin.
Isn't there Shemitah's beauty that once the first doesn't cancel, it
I don't, that I don't know. That I don't know.
In other words, so you can override a shmita by simply writing a shtar.
Yeah. You can see to it that shmita won't cancel if you write in the shtar that the loiva has the right to hold on to the money for a month or a week after shmita comes to a close. So since when shmita comes to a close, shviyis mishametus b'soifo, so the shmita is not going to cancel this debt because it. The Malva didn't have a right to collect it yet, so it doesn't cancel. That's how we paskin. The Gemara has two opinions. That's how we paskin. That Shemitah doesn't cancel.
This Machlok is based on Svara or Psukim
This, no, based on Svara.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there in the Gemara Gittin, the Gemara says, what if there's. No, that's Masa Mashkas about Torah means if he makes it tonight, that's against the laws of the Torah. Here he didn't make it tonight against. I have a right to lend you the money for 10 days. That's Masa Mashkas about Torah. The din is Tam Havah Shloshim Yom. If you don't say one way or the other, so you don't have a right to ask the loiva to pay the chayiv, the halvoa, until 30 days are up. What if I give him a halvoa and I say, I want you to pay back tomorrow. I want you to pay back by next Tuesday. I'm lending the money today on Tuesday, only for a week. So that's Masa Mashkasa Batar Badavisha Mimaman. So we say Tanoi Kayim. You can make a halva for less than 30 days. You make a halva for 20 years, whatever you want. So if I make a halva for 10 years, that's a legitimate halva. You can make, it doesn't necessarily have to be, the Zman HaPiron is always going to be after 30 days. You can make after 10 days, you can make after 30 years. You can make whatever you want. So once you made a halva for more than the Shnas HaShmita is in another year and a half, you made a halva for 2 years. So since when Shemitah came to a close, the Malva didn't have the right to collect the money, so Shemitah doesn't cancel. So this is Machlekes in Svar. Yeah, so there the Gemara in Gittin has a line, it sounds like it says, and this is Machlekes in Rishonim, how to read the line. It sounds from the Gemara that even Beisilu would agree to Beis Shammai if the Loive gave a shtar to the Malva, that Kol Nechasai, not just they, generally speaking, he singles out a specific sada and he makes it apaita gemefurish. Usually, let's say the loive borrows $500,000, whatever, and he has idis, beninis, and ziburis, has all kinds of karkos. So the mavon only has a right to collect from beninis or from ziburis, has no right to demand that he wants davke idis. But what happens if the loiva singles out, if I don't pay the money on time, you have the right to collect this particular field. And that particular field happens to be Yiddis. And he specifies it. Well, usually he doesn't single out which field, so the loiva has a brera to give him this field, that field, the other field. If he specifies one particular field and the Malvid Afghan wants that, that's called an apoytigim mefurish. He writes, Leihelech peron elamizeh. This particular sada should be meshubit to you. So that's a stronger shibud than stam. So the Gemara in Gittin sounds like it says there, even Bisila would agree with Veshamai. Then I put to Gemafurish, that is Kigobi Domi. So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim. Is that true? Is that what it said in the Gemara? That even Bisila would agree to Veshamai? If he wrote it in Niksuba, yeah. We don't write like that. And when I got married, I didn't have any fields. Now I happen to own the apartment where I live in. But when I got married, I didn't own any real estate at all. So you don't always have to specify. Sometimes if the chassan has real estate at the time that he gets married, so he'll specify he's mishabed this particular apartment, this particular field, to the wife for the purpose of collecting the Niksuba. But today, usually, when people get married, they don't specify. In all the ksubas today, we don't specify what field. Days of the Tanaim, that was a common practice. They would specify which field. A ksubasi should collect ziburis. The 24 others in Zikin collect idis. All the 24 others in Zikin collect idis. A balchayv, if it's a halvoa, or any hischayvis midas, collects beninis. And ksubasisha is enough if she collects ziburis. That's the Mishnah in the middle of Gittin. Yeah. So there is some Rishonim who read the Gemara like that, that if you made a Sheba Nechosim on a particular field, and I put the Gemara Furish, even Mesillah will agree with Beis Shammai that it's considered Kegovi Domi. Okay. So this is Machlok of Beis Shammai Mesillah. Then the Mishnah continues. We started the Mishnah, I think, 2 weeks ago. What if the couple is married by Vera? A Kohen is married to a Grusha, or Yisrael is married to a Mamzeres. He's not allowed to be married. He's supposed to get divorced. But they're married by Yisr. So the Mishnah says, whenever they're married by Yisr, so he cannot, and he did Kino Yastira, he cannot bring her to the Beis HaMikdash and have a drink to Maim HaMorim. Why not? So that was the Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. So the Rambam understood, based on the Gemara in the previous Perek, that Bizman Shahabal Manuka Meyovan, it says, V'niko Ha'ish Meyovan, the only time the husband has a right to demand of the wife she should drink to Maim HaMorim, if he never did a bi'asura miyamav, he never slept with a woman bavera from the day he became bar mitzvah. If he did an avera bi'asura before bar mitzvah, that doesn't count. But the Rambam says if he did a bi'asura from the age of bar mitzvah on, the Rambam says whether it's an avera deraisa, avera derabbanan, doesn't make a difference. Even an only avera derabbanan, that's called ein abal menukum miyamav. So that's how the Rambam read this Mishnah. A kohen is married to a grusha, a kohen gadol is married to an almana. Yisrael is married to a mamzeres or an asina, that's a marriage bavera, so the husband is not menuka miyovan, he's a balavera. So he cannot be mashke the wife. And Rashi disagreed with the Rambam. Rashi held that that din bizman she'ena bal menuka meyavan, that only applies if baile baleo baderech, if the husband violated the din of an itma that she's asur lebal. But if he violated with a different woman, he violated, or he's married, the whole marriage is bavera. It's a koy married to a grusha. He's all married to mamzeres, but he didn't violate the din of an itma. So Rashi says that's not learned that from the pasuk bizbansha bal menukam yovan. That's learned that Rashi says from a different pasuk. That's the third line from the top in Rashi. V'ochi tanya b'sifrei kisis teishta beruya liisha sakasam adaber. The pasuk only speaks when the couple has a marriage that's mutter. If the marriage is aser, so there's no din of hashkoa soita. So bottom line, Rashi and the Rambam both agree to the din in the Mishnah. They just argue what pasuk is it based on.
If the kain is married to a grusha, would there be a ksuba?
Yeah, there is a ksuba. Yeah, when he got married, he gave her a ksuba. Yeah. Kedushin ischal. Yeah, kedushin
ischal.
Right. Rabbi Kiva holds kedushin anatchal, but we pasken against Rabbi Kedushin achal. There are certain cases where she doesn't get the ksuba as a penalty with the rabbanon, because the chachamim assessed the situation. And they decided that she probably was the one who finagled that he should marry her. So if he married one of the shniyas, mid the rabbanon, so then we assume that she's probably the one who trapped him. She entrapped him to get married, so we penalize her. But if Yisrael marries a mamzeres, she didn't trap him. They both decided to sin together. If the kohen marries a grusha, the children are going to be puzzled. The children are going to be chalolim. So the women are not going to try to ensnare the husband to marry them. If they know the children are going to become mamzerim, or the children are going to become chalolim, so there we don't penalize the women. But if you marry a shniya, that doesn't affect the children at all. Shniya is mendivei seifim. So then the tanoim assess the situation and said she probably is the one who ensnared him, and we penalize her that she loses the ksuba. But in a normal case, you do get ksuba. The Rambam even writes, let's say a koy marries a grusha, and you have erisin, you have nisuin, the whole works. And then the wife takes a neder. So the Rambam says the husband can be made for the neder. Calls man they're married. The husband married the nisuin, a full marriage, it can be made for the neder. One would have thought that it's an incomplete ishus. So the Rambam says no, it's 100% full ishus. The Gemara has a din in the end of Yevamos.
She needs a get. Right?
She needs a get.
So that's a full ishus.
Yeah. The problem is like this: there's a Gemara in the end of Yevamos in Perek Isha Rabbah. But the mission says, let's say a man is married to a woman and she becomes a Saita Vadai. She's Mizana Tachas Baila, and the husband still continues to live with his wife. He violates the din, he's supposed to divorce her. She's Eshus Ish, she's in. So he didn't divorce her. And then she takes a neder. So the Mishnah says the Baal cannot be made for the nedarim. Why not? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The whole idea of Haforas Nedarim Idea Baal, that the marriage should be a good marriage. So if the husband is unhappy with the neder, so he should be made for the neder to encourage the man that the marriage should last. We don't want the marriage to last. We want them to get divorced. So if that's the reason why you want him to get divorced, so you should say the same thing if a Yisrael is married to a mamzeres or a kohen is married to a grusha. So you have to add on a little bit more to the Gemara. You have to say, by an eshes ish zinsa, a soita, not just we want them to get divorced. We consider it as if the whole ishus is incomplete. They got married 40 years ago. It was a full ishus. Eris and Nisu and the whole works. But then the minute that the ishus ish is mizana, tachas baila, so the ishus is now incomplete. That's why the husband can't be made for the nedarim. She's not considered a full nesua. But if a kohen marries a grusha, he saw marries a mamzeres, that's considered a full ishus. That's considered a full ishus. If she took a neder, the husband can be made for the neder. Now there's a din midirabbanon. If a woman was previously married and she's pregnant from the first husband, that's called Muberes Chavero or Menekes Chavero. A woman had a baby from a previous marriage and the husband divorced her or the husband died and she gets a shidduch, she wants to remarry. So till the baby is 2 years old, that's how the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoin. Till the baby is 2 years old, that's very rare to nurse a baby for 2 years. Till the baby is 2 years old, that's very rare. So one Tana disagrees and says 18 months is Ginuk. So we don't really paskin like that. We paskin until the baby is 2 years old. She's called Menekes Chaver because it's a Yotzim in HaKlal. There's a rare case where the woman will nurse the baby for a full 2 years till the baby is 2 years old. So the din is, I'm not allowed to marry Muberes Chavera or Menekes Chavera. Why are you not permitted to marry a woman who's pregnant with someone else's baby? If I had an affair with the girl and I made the girl pregnant, or I was married to the girl and we got divorced and she's nursing the baby and I want to remarry her. The din maksa grushasai. I'm not allowed to remarry my grusha. That means if she married someone else in between. But if I divorced my wife and she didn't marry someone else, if I'm a kohen, I'm not allowed to remarry my wife. She's a grusha, even grushas atzmo. The kohen is not allowed to marry. but if I'm not a kohen and I divorced my wife, I want to remarry her, that's perfectly okay. One of my classmates in the yeshiva is remarried to his wife for the third time. That was his first wife, his second wife, and his third wife. Yeah, okay, I guess. But love is better the third time around. Huh? He's a rabbi too. He's a rabbi also. Okay. He's not a kohen. Yeah, he's not a kohen.
I want to get all that nodding, I think.
Okay. So there's a din midirabbanan, you're not allowed to marry Muberes Chavera or Menekes Chavera. Why is it osir? So the Gemara explains. Muberes Chavera, she's pregnant. If it's my wife and she's pregnant, so if I want to be with my wife, I want to have tashmish with my wife while she's pregnant, I'll be careful not to crush the baby. I'll be careful. It's my child. So I'll be careful not to be with my wife in such a way that I should kill a baby. If she's pregnant from someone else, that's not my baby. So people are not going to go around and kill a fetus that's from someone else, but accidentally he may cause the fetus to die. He may have tashmish with the wife in such a way. He may not be so careful because he's not the father of this uber. So it's a far-fetched chashash, but the Gemara has a klal, since it's a suffix sakana for the uber. So if it's my uber, if she's pregnant with my baby, when there's no suffix sakana. That's ridiculous. There's no suffix sakana. It's very far-fetched. One chance out of 5 million that the husband is going to be with his wife and she's pregnant is going to cause the fetus to die. So that you don't have to be worried about. But if she's Muberes Chaver, pregnant from someone else, then it's a far-fetched suffix sakana. But it's not Echad Mini Elef Alfe Alofim. So that's the klal. The Hoch B'Bikoch Nefashah Sachar Haroiv. You have to be choshish for the miut by sakonis nefoshes. And the same thing, meinekes chaveru. If the woman is nursing a baby, so if it's my wife who's nursing the baby, so I'm allowed to be with my wife. She may become pregnant the second time. She's going to become pregnant. She won't have any milk to nurse the baby. So if I see that my wife became pregnant the second time, she doesn't have any milk, so I'll pay money to buy enfant milk, whatever they sell in the store, the drugstore. They sell bottles for the baby. Or I'll hire, years ago they didn't have a drugstore, they didn't sell it. So I'll hire someone else, a nurse, to nurse the baby. I'll pay, because it's my wife, it's my baby. I'll take care. But if it's Menekes Chaveira, I'm going to marry a woman who's nursing a baby, who's from a previous marriage, or a Zaina. Let's say she became pregnant, she was a prostitute, whatever. She was not married, she became pregnant, and she's nursing a baby, but I'm not the father of the baby. So then, we're not choshed that a man is gonna, the wife will become pregnant from me, and then I'm gonna see the baby is dying, the baby, there's not enough milk, and I'll let the baby die. That's far-fetched, that's not gonna happen. But we're afraid he may not notice it. People are not choshedim to let someone else's baby die, b'yoidim, b'mezidim, b'miskavim. But we're afraid he may not realize that there's not sufficient milk, and the baby's being suffering from malnutrition. So that's why they made a chumer with their rabbanon. You're not allowed to marry Muberes Chaver Menekes Chaver. So now veta shaila. What's the din if a kohen is married to a grusha, a kohen gadol is married to an almana, Esau is married to a mamzeres, so the marriage is forbidden. So there's no din of saita over here. There is no din of hashkos hasaita because it's a forbidden marriage. So what if a man is married to Muberes Chaver Menekes Chaver, which is forbidden with the rabbanon because it is far-fetched chashash. That's what the Chassam Sefer says. He says, even the days of the Tanoim, till 2 years, the baby's 2 years old. Hardly anybody nursed the baby till the age of two. So the whole thing is so far-fetched that the woman is going to become pregnant again, and there won't be enough milk for the baby, and you have to wait 2 years. It's a far-fetched, on top of a far-fetched. So that's what the Chassam Sefer says. L'holcha b'vikoch nefoshes, achar haray. You still have to be choshish, many far-fetched chashash. So the shaila is, Is that considered that the couple is married by Vera? It's a prohibited marriage? Or do you say, no, it's a permissible marriage. It's just a Sofik Ritzicha. It's not, the marriage is not Osir. It's a Svek Sveki, you may be causing the fetus to die. So that's not that the marriage is prohibited. It's a Chashash Shvichas Damim. He may have Tashmish with his wife, Mumeres Chaver, in such a way he won't be careful. He may crush the baby to death accidentally. By Mumeres Chaver, she may become pregnant from him, and he won't realize that the baby is not being sufficiently supplied with enough nutritious milk. He may not realize he'll let the baby die. So that's a Machloikis Hatanaim. So the first Tana says, Lo Shoysus Lo Netel Ksuba de Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, there's no din of Hashkoas HaSoito. It's a forbidden marriage. The reason why the rabbis prohibited Mumeres Chaver, Merekes Chaver, because of a Chashash, Fafetch Chashash of Shvichas Domim, but after the Chashash, they declared that it's a forbidden marriage. And the Chachamim say, we pass like the Chachamim. It's not true, it's not a forbidden marriage. You're not allowed to marry the woman because of a Chashash Shvichas Domim, but it's not a forbidden marriage. A Koy marries a Grusha, that's a forbidden marriage. A Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, that's a prohibited marriage. So Rashi says it's not Isha Ruya Lekaima. Rashi quoted the Sifre. The Ramam says that it's a forbidden marriage. Here it's not a forbidden marriage. So the Chachamim disagree with Remer. Yachadu Lafrisha Lachzir Lachazman. He can give her a get right now and he can remarry her later on. It's not a prohibited marriage. It's a Chashash V'chaz Dami. So that's what we paskin. It's not a forbidden marriage. In such a case, he can't be mashka her. What if a man is married to an islandess? Islandess is a woman, there's an akora and there's an islandess. An akora is a woman who has a hormone imbalance, some kind of a problem, and she won't be able to have a child unless they'll give her some hormone pills, unless they'll give her some, she needs exercise, she needs a longer cycle, shorter cycle, whatever. There's what to negotiate. An akora, a woman doesn't have children. You go to a doctor and they may and may not be able to help you. An islandess, there's nothing to help out. Islandess, the whole body grows differently. It doesn't grow like in a cave at all. It doesn't grow like a zacher either, but it doesn't grow like in a cave.
Rashi
says what?
Koshel irkin. That's how he defines akara.
Koshel ikarin, yeah. Yeah.
That's not the hormonal imbalance.
Okay, that's another kind of an akara. That she took something that made it impossible for her to ever have any children. Okay.
Why does Rav Meir hold that he can't take her back if he could be divorced?
The Chachamim penalize you that since you married her by Vera, so even later and you have to get the Chachamim also you have to give her a get. Yochalal Afrisha. Lafrisha means to give a get.
But then you can take it back
because it's only a chashash v'chaz damim. He never violated the Anissa marriage.
Rameh
holds that if he's a Kohen, he can't remarry her, right?
But not
and Rameh says he violated a marriage, Isser, and we penalize him that he's never allowed to remarry her. The reason why they made the Gzera, a lot of times you have a reason for Gzera and then the nature of the Gzera. Rameh agrees with the Chacham. The reason why they don't allow you to marry Mumeres Chaver Menekes Chavero is because of the Chashash Shvichas Damim. He may not be careful. He may crush the baby to death, or she may become pregnant, and then the milk won't be sufficient for the baby. But that's the reason why they introduced the prohibition. But the nature of the prohibition is that it's an Issa marriage. So that's why they penalized you. If you did marry her, you have to get divorced and never remarry her again. So that's Machleg Zaman the Rabbanu. Rabbanu say, no, it's an Issa Shvichas Domim. Okay. Okay. In Shulchan Aruch, they say, what happens, let's say, the husband gave his wife a get, and she never started to nurse the baby at all. Today, many of the women don't nurse the baby at all. So, in Shulchan Aruch, they tell you how long it takes. After a couple of weeks, I think, so that it's not shaykh. If the woman was nursing a baby, then she stops. If she stops for a day or two, she doesn't feel well, so she'll still have enough milk. She'll be able to go back. If you stop for long enough, I think it's 30 days or something like that. Stop for 30 days, then it dries up. It's not shaykh to go back again. So let's say a woman got divorced from her husband, and then she's not been nursing the baby at the time that the husband gives her the get, she already had not been nursing the baby for the last 30 days. So when he gives her the get, she's not called Menekes Chavero anymore. If that time that the husband gave her the get, she was nursing the baby, and then she's going to stop nursing for 30 days, then it doesn't help. This din is established, a din is determined at the time he gives her the get. That's why it's not always so smart to rush that the husband should give his wife a get. Let's say the wife just had a baby, and she doesn't get along with the husband, so if he's going to give her the get right away, right after the baby was born, then she won't be able to remarry for 2 years, till the baby is 2 years old. So you tell a woman, don't accept the get until after you've stopped nursing the baby for 30 days, or for 3 months, I already forgot what it says in Shulchan Aruch, some amount of time. So then, when he gives her the get, she's not called Menekes Chaver, so the whole din never sets in. So the Rabbanim have to be intelligent enough to recommend this to the woman. She shouldn't always rush to get the get right away. Sometimes it'll... Husband can remarry right away. He has no problem. Yeah.
Not if she's still legally married without a get.
Oh, okay. If he didn't get a get, he can't remarry. That is correct. Yeah. Okay.
In the chassam itself is tshuva that you don't go echamini elef when it comes to koach nefashos. Does
yeah.
he hold from this gemara that it can be unbelievably far fetched, just not one in a million? Is the chachamawa misakit? Is this where he learns it?
Yeah.
So it'll be one out of 50.
He says it was always far fetched. He says far fetched that a baby should nurse for 2 years. The whole story is far-fetched, that the husband, the new husband, is going to let the baby die. He's going to crush his wife. He's going to crush the baby to death, or she's going to become pregnant. He says the whole story is far-fetched on top of far-fetched. Yeah, no, but the Gemara is not choshish that he's going to do it b'mezid. The whole thing is going to be an oversight on his part. So the Chassam Sofer says the whole thing is far-fetched. But it's not so far-fetched that the Chassam Sofer says, like you say, if it's so far-fetched, utterly ridiculous, then even Sofik Sakana, even in a Sofik Sakana, you don't have to be worried about it. So he says that this is not that far-fetched, that you should say, Echid Mini Elef Alfei Alofen. Yeah. that's what the Chassam Sofer says. If it's so far-fetched, then it's not even called the Sofik Sakana. The Chassam Sofer had a Talmud, the Maharam Shik. So the Maharam Shik has a tshuva about Metzitza. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Shabbos seems to say that the only reason why the Moilim have to do Metzitza is because there's a Sofik Sakana on the baby. After you finish performing the Bris Milah, so you have to draw out a little extra blood. Whenever you do a Bris Milah, a little blood comes out. You have to draw out extra amount of blood in order to prevent infection. There's a shaila today, they use antiseptics. What do you have to do Metzitza for? So the Tiferes Yisrael was a Yekeshe Rav, he's a holy tzaddik. He was a Rav in Germany, so he writes with common sense. He said, Bizman said that you have antiseptics, you don't need mitzitz at all, period. So that's upkiret, that's an apikuris. That's the chief apikuris, that you don't need mitzitz at all. Yeah, they boycotted the Sefer. They describe he was a holy tzaddik. He used to go to mikveh in the morning after davening, or before davening, I don't know. Then he used to sit all day long with talis and tefillin and write his pirush hamishnayos. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kaveg. Rabbi Kaveg lived in Germany also. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kaveg. He was a holy tzaddik. But because he wrote that you don't need mitzitza b'zman hazeh, so upgefrecht, shayin and apikurus.
Still used to go to his kever all the time.
Oh yeah? Baruch Hashem, okay. I mean, after he died, they had respect for him. But while he's alive, I don't know. Huh? Yeah. So then, on the assumption that you still need mitzitza, because there's still a suffix sakana, somehow the mitzitza is going to solve the problem of infection, more so than antiseptics. So then there's a gevurah machlokes, they need davka mitzitza b'peh, or is it even good mitzitza b'kli? You have to davka do it. So the Maram Shik tumult on Welten over here. You have to do mitzitza, it has to be mitzitza b'peh, no two ways about it. The Stechemet is an encyclopedia, where he has, the Stechemet was a Sfardishe Rav, who was born in Eretz Yisrael. I think he was born in Hebron, I don't remember. And then he took a rabbana, set up in the middle of Kazakhstan or some section in the middle of Russia, and he didn't know what was going on with the minhagim there. He didn't know whether the minhagim were correct, incorrect. He never heard of these minhagim. He lived in Eretz Yisrael with the Sfardim. So he started corresponding with the rabbanim in Europe to ascertain whether the minhagim are right or not. So he wrote had so much correspondence on the minhagim. He already wrote a half an encyclopedia. So he finished the encyclopedia. He wrote a whole encyclopedia, alphabetically arranged, in the early 1900s. And then after he retired from the Rabbanus, he went back to Eretz Yisrael, had yeshiva in Hebron. And he's buried there in the Hebron, this Stechemet. So the Stechemet has a long kuntris, I think it's around 60 pages long, about mitzitza. The first half of the kuntris is to wipe the floors with the Tiferes Yisrael. not to do mitzitza at all, that's apikairis. There's nothing to discuss. For sure, he quotes a lot, all the svar. Then the second half of the contra is to insist that has to be dafke mitzitza bepeh, and you can't do otherwise. You're not yetzi otherwise. So the shaila is, what do you mean you need, still need mitzitza? But the doctors use antiseptics today. So what are you worried about? Why does it have to be mitzitza bepeh? So the Maram Shik says, all of medical science is based on experimentation. So they've done circumcisions on thousands and tens of thousands and millions of babies. So no baby ever died. They never did mitzitza. The doctors never did mitzitza. They have no medical record that anybody ever died. So, but maybe if you'll do 50 million brisen, maybe if you do 50 million circumcisions, maybe one of them will die because of a lack of mitzitza. So that's called the suffix sakana. One chase echad mini elef alfei alofim. That's called the suffix sakana. So that's what the Chasam Sofer was. The Rebbe, the Maram Shik, he writes that that's ridiculous. Chasam Sofer is not talking about mitzitza. He's talking about other things. So he says, such a far-fetched chashash sakana, one out of a million. That's no one is concerned about that. That's not called the suffix sakana. Mitzitza should be a suffix sakana. The mitzitza makes the suffix sakana. Yeah.
Nowadays.
So that's the Maram Shik has a tshuva where he assumes not like the Chasam Sofer. And then he discusses another thing. He says medical science, one argument, medical science all based on experimentation, all on records. So he said they only have records for a million babies. Maybe it'll be 20 million babies will do circumcision. Maybe one of them will die from a lack of mitzitza. So that's called suffix sakana. And then he says, they only have records that no one ever died. The baby never died because he didn't do mitzitza. Maybe the suffix sakana is a sakana for apikursus. Who says that it's sakana for sakana sachayim of infection? Be'ezak, maybe if you don't do mitzitza, it's a sakana for apikursus. So that the medical science never proved whether there is. That's also called sakana nefashim. Maybe Jewish children are different. That's another letter that Chasam Sofer has. Chasam Sofer writes in another letter, I don't think it's in the Chuvis. They have a collection of letters of the Chasam Sofer. So he writes, by Minasenu HaRabim, we don't have a Jewish medical school. We don't have a Jewish medical school. And all of the medical knowledge is based on experimentation on non-Jewish bodies. And the Gemara Masechus Shabbos has a suffix, maybe medicine by Jews and non-Jews is different. Because the Jews are careful to eat only kosher food, so maybe the body temperature is different. The Gemara raises a possibility. Maybe the body temperature is different between Jews and non-Jews, and maybe a lot of the medicine is different from Jews and non-Jews. So just because medical science established all the information based on non-Jewish bodies, dissecting non-Jewish bodies, maybe not all the information carries over to Jewish bodies. That's what the Chasam Sofer raises a possibility. Very strange.
There was a whole
issue as to whether you could do mitzitza
with this person.
Avada.
Because there's a
chashash
that you could transmit the herpes.
Avada, they still have today. They still have mohelim. Whenever they do a bris mila, we know the baby gets sick. And they're still doing it. Graysa chachamim. Everybody's worried about not to be mishana de menhogim. Maybe not to be mishana de menhogim. The Tanaim set up, we should do exactly like the Tanaim. The Tanaim followed the latest discovery in medicine. So we should follow the latest discovery in medicine. The Tanaim instituted mitzitze. So the Maram Shik says, no, it's Halach L'Moshe Messina. Who made Halach L'Moshe Messina in this? He's making up from thin air. The Tanaim made and they instituted mitzitze because of a suffix sakana. So if we have a better way of dealing with the infection to prevent it, so we should do exactly like that Tanaim. You follow the doctors of your generation, whatever they tell you to do, that's what you do. So here the Mishnah has the following case. If a man is married to an islandess,
the Hafrish Lach is here before the month before, so when he marries her again, then she drinks with the first king's steer in the first marriage?
No. He can be mashka her if there's a king's steer on the second marriage. And then it can be megalgal on her. There's a gilgal shvur. It can be megalgal that she wasn't mezana, even if she wasn't mezana now during the second marriage. It can make a gilgal shvur that she wasn't mezana during the first marriage either. Because if she was based on her first marriage, then he's, even though he divorced her and he remarried her, it's still going to be Beisa.
So you need a new Kinas Dira.
You need a new Kinas Dira to be able to be Mashka her now. And once you have the new Kinas Dira, then you can be Megala on her. She should include in the Shavua that she wasn't only Mezana during this marriage, she was not Mezana during the first marriage either. Yeah. So here the Mishnah has a case. A man married a girl who's clearly an islander, so he marries a girl who's a Skena Shena Vuya Lele. A young man marries a woman who's too old to have any children. So he's not... It was very rare in the days of the Tanoim. It's before the Chaim de Rabbein Gershom. You're allowed to have more than one wife, but it was very rare, Bizman HaTanoim, that a person had more than one wife. There's a Mishnah in Yevamos like that. The last Mishnah in the second parak in Yevamos. So the Tiferes Yisrael, Mishnais points that. All the Mephoshim point that. You see a din in the Mishnah, it was rare that a man would be married to two wives. It's very unusual. The whole Yevamos talks about it, the whole beginning. Tzoris, Tzoris Erva. The Mishnah talks about, covers every single case, even though it's far-fetched. So it was rare. So a man is married to a woman who's an islander. All the doctors in the world are not going to help. She's never going to be able to have any children. Today, maybe, yeah. Today, they'll take a rechem for one woman. They can have a heart transplant. They can take a kidney transplant. Yeah. Yeah.
30 days,
you have to wait 92 days. Sari Beis Yom. If a woman gets divorced or the husband dies, so she has to wait 92 days before she's allowed to remarry, because in case she'll have a child from the second husband. So you want to know who's the father of the baby, the first husband or the second husband. That's called Havchone. Kedei Lahavchim in Zarish Al Rishon, Zarish Al Sheni. So the Gemara says even if the woman is a Skena, she's 95 years old. And even if the husband was 105 years old, and who just died, and obviously he wasn't living with her anymore. The husband was in prison for the last 10 years. She was in prison. He was sick in the hospital. They were both sick in the hospital. Afilio Velio, even if Elio Anavi comes and he says that the woman is not pregnant, so you still have to wait Tzadik Beis Yom. Or you know that the woman is pregnant. Let's say you know the woman is pregnant. So still you have to wait Tzadik Beis Yom. If she's pregnant, so it's Muberes Chaveru. So you're not allowed to marry her for the other reason. But the Gemara says that's a loy plug rabbanon. Even if Eliyahu Navi comes and he says b'beruach hakodesh that the woman is not pregnant, so it doesn't help. That's a loy plug rabbanon. By giyores, that's a suffix. Is there a loy plug by giyores? Let's say a girl converts and we don't know whether she's pregnant. You always ask the girl, does she? When a girl converts, you ask her, is she pregnant or not? Because the Gemara says muberish and is gairo. If a pregnant woman converts, so when she goes to the mikveh. So the tefillah in the mikveh is oila for her, and it's oila for the baby also. So when the baby will be born later, the baby won't need the tefillah. So the Nadi Behuda has in this ha'oris on the side of the big Yeridaya, in the Dogl Marvava, ha'oris on the Nadi Behuda. So he writes, Muberish and Izgara b'no einotzarach tefillah, the baby when it will be born won't need tefillah, because the tefillah of the mother is oila. That's only by Medvar Mamurim, if the Bezdin who was present at the time the woman was tefillah in the mikveh was aware that she's pregnant. So they knew that they're supervising a geris of the mother and the geris of the fetus, the geris of the uber. But if they were not aware that the woman was pregnant, then the geris of the mother had the benefit of a bez, and the geris of the uber didn't have the benefit of a bez, so it's no good. So the bez always asks, whenever a woman is tovel in the mikveh, they always ask, are you pregnant? So in case she is pregnant, they should know that they write it into the ksav geris, we know she was pregnant, so the tefillah was oila for the fetus as well. There was an incident a couple of years ago. One of the rabbis in the OU who works with NCSY works with Kirov. So he wanted me to meet a certain girl who was not Jewish, who was in the process of converting. So I come to the OU office on Friday. So he told the girl she should come on a Friday. So she came, she met me, she spoke to me for 10 minutes. To me, she didn't look like such a... She didn't look like such a tznua. So I wasn't involved, so then they were megayer her. So apparently they asked the girl, and for the last couple of years she was visiting for Shabbos either in Muncie or in Borough Park or in Flatbush, always visiting, staying Shabbos and by religious people. So they asked the girl whether she's pregnant. So she said no, she's a single girl, she's not pregnant. Then lo and behold, a miracle, she was pregnant. So the rabbi calls me up on the phone, so the girl was all nervous. She told the rabbis a lie. She didn't know. It was B'shogig, so she wants to know, does that invalidate her geris? So I said, it doesn't invalidate her geris. They asked her if she's pregnant, So the baby won't need tefillah after it's born. Now the baby will need tefillah after the baby will be born. That's why they asked the question. But it doesn't validate her gerus. So then one of the rabbanim said, so she's gonna marry the boy who probably made her pregnant. Hope she knows which one. Whatever. She's gonna marry him. Otherwise it's Muberes Chavero. If she's pregnant from someone else and he's not clearly the father, so he's not allowed to marry him. If it's Muberes Atzmai, so then he's allowed to marry her. So one of the rabbis had a suggestion. Why do you have to wait till the baby is born, and that'll be whole embarrassment? She should go to mikveh, take the baby to the mikveh. Let her go to the mikveh a second time now. So the first time she went to the mikveh to convert, that made her a gioris, and the baby is still a goy. And once you go to mikveh a second time, so the second tefillah will be early for the baby. The Gemara raises the issue, how is the tefillah good for the baby? Isn't the mother's body a chatzitza? The water in the mikveh doesn't touch the fetus at all. The Gemara says, Sedishken chatzitza, since that's normal, and the baby wants to be inside the mother's body, it doesn't want to jump out before the 9 months are up. The Gemara said, if you hold your berachimai, it's no problem. Even if the Uba love your berachimai, so let it be an issue of chatzit. The Gemara says, it's not because Haina Revisa. These are the Gemara's two possibilities. So how do we pass Gnubi Yerachim or Lav Yerachim? So Machalek is the Re and the Rabbi and the Tam and Baba Kama, how you pass Gnubi Yerachim or Lav Yerachim. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't say Mimim. The Gemara says Haina Revisa. Why doesn't the Gemara say Mimim? I don't know. So one of the Rabbanim said, if the girl's going to marry her boyfriend, okay, so rather than take the baby to the mikveh later, let her go to the mikveh the second time. So they asked me, what do I think? So a week after. A week after they called to tell me the first shayla, the miracle that happened, so then they asked me the second shayla. So I said, I don't think so. I think that din, that the muberes is tevel in the mikveh, so tefillah is good for her and for the fetus, that's only if she's being tevel for herself. So then the tefillah is good for the fetus as well. But if she already is Jewish, she already was tevel a month ago, or 2 months ago, whatever, and now she's going to be tevel only for the fetus, I thought maybe it's no good. Because there's such a Gemara in Meseches Chagiga, in the second parak, in the third parak in Chagiga. Gemara says, let's say you have two kelim that are tomei. So you tevel of both kelim in the mikveh, each one separately, no problem. What if you have two kelim that are tomei? I'm going to put the smaller kli into the bigger kli. Here I have a cup, and the cup is tomei, and I'm going to put a piece of jewelry inside the cup. And I'll be tevel the cup in the mikveh like this. The water will fill up. So good. So it's a tefillah on the cup, and it's a tefillah on the jewelry, and whatever it is inside the cup. So the Gemara says, but what happens if the cup has such a narrow opening on top that it doesn't have kishwa feris on the oat? So it's not a chibur in hilchas mikvah. It's the water inside the cup. It's not mechuba with the rest of the mikveh. So then the Gemara says it depends. If the cup is tamei also, and the cup needs tefillah, so the cup, you have to be toivel a cup in the mikveh in such a way that the water touches the outside of the cup and the inside of the cup. What does it help? The water touches the inside of the cup, but the opening on the top of the cup is so tiny it's not kishwa feris anod. So the water inside the cup is not mechuba to the rest of the mikveh. So you're not being toivel a cup in haboim sof. And Mara says, no, mahatunsh kambreira. That's the din. You toivel a kli with a tiny opening. So the water inside the kli is considered mechubit to the mikveh. So if the outside container and the kli inside are both tamei, so migu that the tefillah in the mikveh is oila for the cup, so it's oila for the kli inside as well. But if the cup is tohar, the cup doesn't need a tefillah, and the opening on top is less than shvaferes anot, so there's no chibit to the mikveh. So then it's a din in Yeriday. It's a din in the Gemara quote in Yeriday. Then a tefillah for the kli inside the cup is not oila. So I thought the same is over here, that the tefillah for the uber is good, agav the mother. The mother is tefillah in the mikveh l'shem geirus. So the tefillah of the mother is good for her and good for the uber as well. But if the mother already became a geiris 2 months ago, now she's going to be tefillah only for the uber. The uber is inside. The uber is mechusa and gansen with the flesh of the mother's body. So I thought it would not be good. So some rabbanim in America were arguing about the case, what the din is. So I asked, my son was learning in Eretz Yisrael at that time, a couple of years ago. So I asked him to ask, one of the rabbanim should ask Rabbi Yashiv the Shaila. So one of the rabbanim looked through all the achrenim, he prepared himself, and he went into Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv wasn't at that time 102, he was only 97, a young man. So he went into Rabbi Yashiv, and he asked him the Shaila. So Rabbi Yashiv said, no, it's no good. So the Rav started to argue with him. He said, no, it's no good. It's no good. It obviously had worked out the Shaila. He didn't think of it now for the first time. It worked out the Shaila years ago. And he said, no, it's absolutely no good. He held also it's no good. And other Rabbanim were not so sure that it's no good. That's a Shaila had a paskin in such a case. Yeah. So here's a story like this. A young man who is able to have children didn't yet fulfill Piri Berivya. He gets married to a woman who can't have children. He marries an islandess. With all the medical care in the world, he's not going to straighten out. She's not going to have any children. Or he marries a Skena Shaini Rialele. He marries an older woman, 75 years old. She's not going to have any children. So the first Tana says, it's a forbidden marriage. It's a forbidden marriage. Why is it a forbidden marriage? Because he's not going to marry two wives. He can't afford to marry another wife. And this wife can't have any children. He's supposed to divorce this wife and marry a younger girl who is able to have children. So the first Tana holds that it's a forbidden marriage. Either according to the Rambam, it's Ein Abal Menucha Miyovan. That's hard to what avera did he do? He's not yet in the mitzvah Piri Berivya. Rashi says forbidden marriage. Isha Ruya Lekaima. That I understand a little better. So the Tanakam says a forbidden marriage. Blessed says, why is it a forbidden marriage? Yochul holisa isha acheres. He can marry another wife. I can't afford it. It's a different story. You can't say it's a prohibited marriage. It's not called the Bil Hasura. It's not called the Isha Shenu Yilakaima. Since theoretically, even though that's not the common practice, most of the people, Bizmana Bayesheni, most of the people did not have more than one wife. But nonetheless, Reb Lezer disagrees. Yochel Elisa Shacheris Lifelisa Remeno. He can marry another wife and have children from the second wife.
Would it make a difference for Reb Lezer that I couldn't afford to marry another wife? It's totally out of the.
I don't think so. He says since theoretically it's possible. So this is a different issue. Yemavatla mitzvah, but you can't say he's not called Eina Menuka Miyavain. It's not called the Isha Sheina Roy Lekaim. Theoretically, it's Roy Lekaim. Ayla Maisa, he's not going to have any children from her. But that's not called a prohibited marriage.
The Tanakam would be more if he already was the kind of mitzvah who actually.
Right. If he already fulfilled the mitzvah, then even Tanakama would agree. Yeah. And what if it's a normal woman? What if it's not a skenon? It's not a muberes chaver and so on. Shakal anashim. Any other woman? Oshosos. Olo notlis tzubi. Give him the option. You have to drink the maim amarim. If she doesn't want to drink the maim amarim, then she loses the ksubik. Because the only reason why she didn't lose the ksuba when she did the kinu istira, she violated the instructions of the husband, is because she can theoretically drink the maim amarim. They can resolve the issue. But if she refuses to drink the maim amarim, then she loses the ksuba. Her refusal to drink is making it impossible that they should live together. Yeah, this din about meinekes chavero, muuberes chavero, umeinekes chavero, when they started the whole discussion 50 years ago about artificial insemination, a couple can't have children. Let's say they ascertain the problem is the husband. They can't have children. So they want to do artificial insemination, use zera me'isha acher and use it for this woman. So some of the Rabbanim said it's not allowed because it's muberes chavero. It's muberes chavero. Still. Even if they use from a non-Jew, but still the baby's going to be Jewish. So if by accident the husband is going to crush the baby to death when he's with his wife, so he'll be killing a Jewish baby. You're not allowed to kill a Nochri either. What's the difference with Tziyayit, Tziyah Nochri? You're not allowed to. So some of the Rabbanim said that's Muberes Chaver, Menekes Chaver, you're not allowed to do it. Rav Soloveitchik at one time also was misupik about that. He said maybe you're not allowed to do it because then the husband is living with a woman who's pregnant from someone other. He's not the father. Yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik also wasn't so keen on the whole thing. When Rav Moshe said it was mutter, so then Rav Soloveitchik didn't want to disagree. Rav Moshe printed a tshuva mutter, let's not discuss it. Rav Soloveitchik was misupik, could be that the child is a mamzer. If an eshes ish becomes muberes from another Jew other than a husband, if she becomes pregnant from a non-Jew, so the Gemara says the child is not a mamzer. But if the eshes ish becomes pregnant from another Jewish person other than a husband, then the child is a mamzer. But that, maybe that's only a child is a mamzer if they violated loisinov. But over here they didn't violate loisinov. Rav Soloveitchik wasn't sure. Maybe the child is still a mamzer. He spoke in public about this once at a Chagas Micha, that they called him up on the telephone and they asked him, The woman asked, will a child be am I allowed to do artificial insemination? Will the child be a mamzer? So he said, I don't know. So the woman said, but Rabbi, they say that you're the chief rabbi in the United States. What's the answer? He said, I don't know. Just because I'm chief rabbi, I don't know. Then she said, but he already had one child with artificial insemination. He meant to say, maybe that child is mamzer. I don't know. He kept on saying, I don't know. I don't know what to do. He used to say, I don't know. Until Rabbi Moshe printed the tshuva l'chol. So that's it. So he said in class, let's not discuss it. That's the end of the discussion. Rabbi Moshe said, it's mutter, it's mutter.
He said, I heard the tape. He just said that a shayla like that just can't give an immediate answer. They expect an immediate answer on the tunnel.
He said, as a shayla in Europe, Rabbi Chaim Moshe would write with kvetshoy sahete, would sit 7 days. And he would write a tshuva l'hakel on the condition that another two gedolim will agree with him. And here in America, they expect the young rabbi to answer on the telephone. They expect all the rabbis to answer everything on the telephone. He said, you're never allowed to answer any shailas on the telephone. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, mesunim badin. You have to have yishuv adas. So he said, mesunim badin means you're not allowed to answer on the telephone. Even if it's a yalav yavah shaila, an easy shaila, you have to say, I'll call you back. And you have to hang up the phone, you have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch, and then tell him, I looked it up and this is the din. The rabbi shouldn't be embarrassed to say that he does know the din. You always have to look it up. He quoted the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim says, you're not allowed to mer halacha bifnei rabbi, so bizman hazeh, the svarim are the rabbi. So you're not allowed to paskin without opening up the safe and looking it up. And then he said, having mesunim adin means you shouldn't paskin on the spot. You shouldn't be embarrassed to say, I have to look it up. And even though you already paskin the shaila 10 times before, you have to look it up before you tell him the psak. Yeah.
One of those cases was from Mambachi.
Yeah.
So that would be a mamzer too.
Rabbi Yosef Engel, who died 100 years ago, writes that he thinks if an Eshes Ish become pregnant by Mambachi, he thinks the child will be a mamzer. He has a whole pilpul on a Tosis in Yevamos. Tosis has two opinions about a certain topic, and then Tosis thinks that this opinion is correct. So Tosis said that becoming a mamzer is not a function of having violated loisinuf. Even if you violated nothing, the child can still be a mamzer. Child is related to a father and a mother who couldn't have had tefisas kiddushin, even though they didn't violate the aver of loisinuf, still be a mamzer. Rabbi Yosef Engel thinks that by artificial insemination, also like that. So Moshe said, Nitazai, so the Rav Soloveitchik said, let's not discuss it. Well, we lied that Rav Moshe was a holy tzaddik and he had the siyata d'shmaya. That was the end of the discussion. But until Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva, he was mesupak on the whole thing. He thought maybe it's muberes chavero and it's menekes chavero and the child could be a mamza, everything under the sun.
So did Rav Moshe give any reasons
why? Why it's not muberes chavero? Because the husband agrees. The husband wants to have the child. He feels bad his wife can't have. He's not able to provide her with a baby. So if this is, he arranged for this, he's paying for it, cost a fortune, so he assumes that that's not called menekes chaver. Then why it's not a mamzer? So we can understand why they didn't violate lasinov. But Moshe has a bigger chiddush on top of that. Moshe has a chiddush, let's say the husband is a mamzer and the wife is not, and they do artificial insemination from the husband into the wife. So Moshe thinks the child is also nishke mamzer. Not only does it not create mamzeris, I can understand if you say you don't create mamzeris because you didn't violate lesinov. But even if the husband is a mamzer already, just discussing transmitting mamzeris to the next generation. So if this man is he's the donor, he's the balazera, and he was a mamzer, so the child should be a mamzer. Rambam says no. If there was no tashmish, so the child is not a mamzer. So you usually have a problem. Matar mamzer. Let's say you have a man as a mamzer. Who's he going to marry? Who's going to want to marry him? He's not allowed to marry a Yisraelis. So he has to marry a Gioris. So the mamzer marries a Gioris, so all the children are going to be mamzerim. So that's miserable. Even though it's beheter, even though a Gioris is permitted to marry a mamzer, but who's going to want to marry him if all the children are going to be mamzerim? Who are they going to marry? They're all going to marry Gioris. It's going to be very difficult. So according to Rav Moshe, you have a solution to the problem. The mamzer should marry a gioris. They should always practice birth control. When they're interested in having a baby, they should have it artificial insemination from the husband. And sure, the child won't be a mamzer. Rav Moshe has a chiddush. If the zera habal is artificially inseminated, even though the husband is a mamzer, he says the child won't be a mamzer.
Does the child have a chiyuv to keep it up?
That's the shaila. Years ago, that was a big machlokes. Maybe the child is not related to the father. Yeah, maybe the child is not related to the father.
Mamzer, so
So that's a shayla. Let's say you have a kohen is married and they can't have children without assistance from a doctor. The doctor has to do artificial insemination from the husband to his own wife. So are the children kohanim or not? Is he related to the father? So this used to be a big machlokes years ago. So I remember I was speaking about this in Eretz Yisrael. There's a machon pua. There's an institute pua, shifron pua, with the two midwives who were helping deliver all the babies. So the Chumash has in Parsha Shmois about shifron pua. So every year, I think on the Tuesday of Parsha Shmois, they have the machon pua has a kenes, an all-day-long series of lectures on fertility issues. Pua, some kind of Rosh Yitevis, Poriut, something. So yeah, something. Why you? They have a branch, right. They have very, very good. They have they familiarize the smicha students, whoever is interested, with all of the latest issues in fertility. So I remember every year they asked me to participate in this Machon Pua. They have the last couple of years. Every year they asked me to participate if I'm in Eretz Yisrael. If I have time, so I participate. So one year I was speaking about this, if you do artificial insemination, whether the child is considered related to the father. If the father's a kohen, will the child be a kohen or not? So one of the people who is in the audience is a kohen, and he can't have children with his wife without assistance of a doctor. And he says, he asked Reb Shlomo Zalman, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, your children can duchen. So he was upset why he even said that it was a machlokes. It's a fact. It was a big machlokes whether if the woman is artificially inseminated from her own husband, are the children misyachas after the father or not? So this rabbi, his children were bar mitzvah already. He has twin boys that were both bar mitzvah already. So he was very upset why I raised the issue, why I said that there was a big machlokes. But the bottom line, there was a big machlokes. In recent years, it's assumed that their children are related to the father, even though it's only artificially inseminated. No, no.
But if it's plus, it's related. If it's a minus, it's not related.
Who is posking that you're a Kohen and you get Yerusha, but are they posking like with Moshe to be Matayah Mamzerin, or no?
I don't know. I thought it should depend one on the other. If the child is not Mesiachas after the father, then you can say it's not a Mamzer. The child is Mesiachas after the father, and it's Zeri Ishachas, so then there's room to say the child is a Mamzer. So now, in recent years, it's assumed, like Reb Shlomo Zalman said, they've already forgotten that there used to be a machlokes. They say artificial insemination, the child is misyachas after the father. So those who disagree, they say it depends. Artificial insemination, the child is misyachas. But if it's in vitro fertilization, so then the child is not misyachas after the father. And that's also not on genuman. They assume now that even in vitro fertilization also. Bottom line, the genes are from this donor. So they consider the donor of the zera, they consider him the father of it.
Can't be mitarit.
I don't know. Rav Moshe has a, he just says, he doesn't say because the vlad is not misyachas after the father. He says there was no isabia, so you can't say that child is a mamzer. Why not? I don't know. That's the shaila if the sabra bambatya whether the child will be a mamza. So Rabbi Yosef Engel thinks the child is a mamza.
What does the Gemara say?
The Gemara doesn't talk about it. The Gemara talks about the sabra bambatya, but the Gemara doesn't talk about what's a din if the child is a mamza. That's never discussed in the Gemara.
Yeah, what happens
is a husband wants to marry a isha, she can have children. If he marries her, then there's no one.
So he's not supposed to marry her. That's what the Mishnah says. He's not allowed to marry her because it was irregular, it was abnormal to have more than one wife. So if he marries her, he's not going to marry another wife. So it's not proper. But the Shad is Bidi, yeah, but he did marry her. So the Tarakama says, it's an Isha Sheni Bui Lakaimo, so there's no din of Hashkoa Sasoita. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. He says, it's an Isha Rui Lakaimo, he can marry another wife. He's mevatel a mitzvah, but you can't say that this marriage is prohibited. It's not proper because he's probably not going to marry another wife. He can't afford two wives. It's not recommended. So that was machlokes hatanaim. Is that called isha shenavoy lekaim?
Really, in the case of going back to Yochel Hula Frisha.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the present marriage, not afterwards, but that he can be mashka her now? And the Rashi is saying because Hilkap Rui Alisha's Karina there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're calling her now. So we're not talking about the second marriage.
Right.
We're talking about the first marriage.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about the first marriage, then why, how would, according to the...
Chachamim said, you're not allowed to live with Moberes Chaver because of Hashash Vitzicha. But it doesn't mean that it's a prohibited marriage.
Because he could divorce her and take her back.
Right, so this marriage, the present marriage is also mutter.
But it's still a biasura to be married to her. So according to the Rambam, that would hold that you're not mashka her if it's a bia, if he ever had a biasura. How would you learn the mission?
He said it's not a biasura, it's not an isabia. Let's say the man is in the army, wherever he goes, he has to have a rifle attached to him. And when he's in bed with his wife, he has to have the rifle. He's not allowed to be with his wife. He can shoot her accidentally. So you say it's an isabia. It's not an isabia, it's an isaritzicha. It's an isaritzicha. As soon as he'll be out of the army, he'll be able to take off the gun. Then he'll be able to live with his wife. This is an isa. You're not allowed to marry. Now that I'd be married to him, embarrassed chaver, and next chaver, it's a chashash vetzicha on the Uber. But it's not, the marriage is hetagoma, as I think it is, sir. So that makes sense, why the Chachamim disagree with Rameir. Rameir holds a chashash, the reason why the rabbis prohibited it, is because it is far-fetched chashash, that you may kill the Uber. But once they had that concern, so they declared that it's a prohibited marriage. And the Chachamim Oimrim, no, it's not a prohibited marriage. The marriage is hetagoma. It's a chashash vetzicha, that's all.
After how many years of no children would we say that it's a prohibited marriage?
In the days of the Tanoim, they didn't have any tests to be able to ascertain that who's infertile, whether they're infertile. So in the days of the Tanoim, the Mishnah says if they're married for 10 years and they didn't have any children, they don't know whether it's his fault or her fault, so then they would say the husband has to divorce his wife and marry another woman. To try to have children with the second wife. Today they can ascertain whether he's infertile or she's infertile and if there's anything to do about it. So today the 10 years is irrelevant. Today the 10 years is irrelevant. No, the Gemara says one who lives in Chutz Laaretz, so maybe it's because he lived in Chutz Laaretz, oven Chutz Laaretz Gerem Loi. So the 10 years don't count in Chutz Laaretz. If he moves to Eretz Yisrael, then he have another 10 years. Maybe in the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe in the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael, then they'll have a child. Yeah. Then the Mishnah has Eishes Kohen Shoisa Umateris Labaila. Child is like this. When you drink the Maimamorim, so the Torah promises a miracle of Dore Doreis, that the drinking of the Maimamorim will determine whether the woman was Mezana, the woman was not Mezana. Was she, it's not Mevar that the woman was not Nenso. Maybe the woman was Nenso. Maybe the woman was Nenso. So if she's married to Israel, if a woman is married to a Levi or to Israel, and then she drinks the Maimamorim, so the Maimamorim is Bodek, that she was not Mezana Berotz. Shad is, what if the woman is married to a Kohen? So the drinking of the Maimamorim will just demonstrate the promise that the Torah made, the Haftocha of this miracle, was only made to indicate that she wasn't Mezana Berotz. But it doesn't really, an Eishes Kohen is not allowed to remain with her husband, even if she's Nensa. Even Boedish is not allowed to remain with her husband. So the Shad is, if the husband, the Kohen, was Cheshed that his wife is having an affair, the Mezid, then she's going to drink the Maimamorim, is she allowed to remain living with her husband? The Maimamorim didn't prove anything. It just proved that she was a Mezana Beratzen. Maybe she was Nenso. So the Mishnah says, no, Eishes Kohen Shoisa Umateris Labaila. After she drinks from the Maimamorim, Ois Shaila, if she survives, there's no reason why she shouldn't survive. It's not poisonous. The miracle is, if she's guilty, then she'll die. So the Pasuk says, V'nika Ishma Yovan, after she drinks the Maimamorim, the husband's allowed to live with his wife, even if he's a Kohen. You don't have to be concerned about the possibility that maybe she was Nensa.
She might have a schus. How do we know a year later she might be...
So that was the Machlokes HaTanoim.
How could the Kohen though live there?
Yeah, so how can any husband live with his wife? How can any husband live with his wife after she survives the Maimamorim? So one Tana says it must be that a schus ain't a toilet bar. If the schus is teileba,
that's the reason why the Torah gives this way out. It should be shown on bias. Otherwise, you'll never know. This way, the Torah said, this is the experiment. You do this, and it'll solve the case.
But he's asking, but if the schus teile, so how do you know she's materis lebailo?
It's not there,
though. Oh, so one Tana said, it's a right, there's no such thing as schus teileba. Schus teileba, so how does it prove anything? Maybe she's innocent. And the other Tanaim say, no, the schus is teile, but we assume that if she looks sickly, there's no reason she should be sick at all. It doesn't taste good. It's bitter. It has a little sand in it, but it's not poison. And so she looks awful after she drinks the maimama, even though she doesn't die for a long time to come, then the husband is not allowed to live with her. Schus teileba, but she's going to look sick. So if she looks sickly, so he's not allowed to, so he's not allowed to be with his wife afterwards. Then the Mishnah continues, Eish soris shoisa. Let's say the husband now is not physically able to live with his wife. So is there a din of Maim HaMarim or not? Maybe the din of Maim HaMarim is only the woman is now muteresli, the woman is now muta to her husband, they're allowed to continue living together. He's unable to have tashmish with his wife. He's a soris. So maybe the Mayim, the miracle of Bedikas HaMayim is only promised if it'll be relevant to be Matarisha Labaila. But if the husband is a source, can't live with his wife anyway, so maybe then the Mayim doesn't prove anything. Maybe he's not allowed to live with his wife. Maybe he's not allowed to touch her and so on. So the Mishnah says, no. Shoy says she drinks the Mayim Amarim, and the miracle was promised even in such a case. So Rashi is bothered with Akasha. Rashi and the Mishnah is bothered with Akasha. The Gemara is going to say, on Omid Base, on the top of Omid Base, on the fifth line from the top, the Gemara says, in the days of the Amoraim, Rabbi Acha bar Chanina came from Daroma, came from the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, probably. They had different, everybody had the set of Mishnayos. Rabbi Yudal Nasi edited the Mishnayos, that's the text. And all the yeshivas, all the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayos. And in every yeshiva, they had sets of brises that they would recite. So Talmidim would go visit one yeshiva, and they would pick up, they would all memorize, nothing was except, they would all memorize all the brises, they would go back to another yeshiva and tell them over their brises. So the Gemara says, Ki osa rabacha bar chanina midaroma. When this Amora came, obviously he lived in Eretz Yisrael because he's Rebbe Acha. Rebbe Acha, the smicha is only in Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel you can't confer smicha. So this Amora lived in Eretz Yisrael, he learned in yeshiva in Daroma. Also the Isa Masinta Biyod, he came and he brought the following brisa in his, literally, sounds like he had it written on a piece of paper, and either he brought it literally in his hands, or he said over the following brisa, one or the other, he had the following din. The din of Maim HaMarim, the husband is Mashka, the wife is only, the Pasuk says, have you had an affair with anyone in addition to living with your husband? Were you living with someone else in addition? Mi Baladei Sheikh. So this brisa that the Amora presented, he went to that yeshiva, picked up a brisa. So the brisa says only mishikad meshchivas habal lebav, lo shikad meshchivas haboy lebav. The whole parsha site only applies if first the husband was living with his wife, and then he's choshed her that she was having an affair with someone else after he lived with her. But if we know that he's choshed that she had an affair with someone else after he was mekadosh her. But before he even lived with his own wife. So there's no din. The miracle was never promised in such a case. If the husband was first living with his wife, and afterwards, he's chayshid habiznos. So Rashi effect akasha on the Mishnah says, the din of hashkos, maim amarim, even applies if the husband is a soris. Soris means any ochel livo. He doesn't have the ability to have tashmish. He doesn't have the ability to have tashmish, so he never lived with his wife. So it's kod mashchivas ha-boyel. There never was any Shechivas Habal. So Rashi says, no. Happened later on. So Rashi says he was married for 25 years. Then he became a Soris, and the wife can't, the husband is not able to entertain his wife, so she goes and she has an affair with somebody else. So it was called Meshchivas Habal above. He became a Soris later. That's how Rashi reads. Konshin is Taris Lachashin is Sor. Called Meshchivas Habal above. That's how Rashi explains on the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah continues, Ayde kol harayis mekanim. The husband can be choshed his wife business. Let's say there's no issa yichud between a woman and her father. A couple is married, and the wife always goes to visit her father. The mother, let's say, is not alive, and the wife sleeps over by the father. So there's no issa yichud. a mother, a father and a daughter, a mother and a son, there's no way to say yichud. Even a brother and a sister, so the Gemara says, there's no way to say yichud, they're not allowed to be dor biyachad. A brother and a sister shouldn't live kavua in the same apartment. But once in a while, let's say the parents go away for a weekend, so they have to worry about yichud between the brother and the sister. So the din is that yichud is mutter, just dor biyachad is us. That's the question. What's dor? What's yichud is mutter, and dor bikvias is us. What does that mean? So many say 30 days, less than 30 days. The parents go away, so it's for a week or two. So then there's no isa yichud. If the parents are going to go away for the whole summer, July and August, and then the brother and the sister are going to be misyachad for more than a month, that's already dor, so that you're not allowed to do. But yichud is mutter. Others are more machmer, even less than 30 days. But the Pashto says less than 30 days is mutter, more than 30 days is us. So let's say the husband is chayshed his wife that she's having an affair with her brother. Not so far-fetched. Her brother and a sister sometimes violate incest. Or a father and a daughter. It happens. By the Nochem it happens, unfortunately. By Jews also it happens, unfortunately. Every so often. So the Mishnah says, they call her rice mekanim. If the husband is choshed, his wife is nus, even if he's choshed, far-fetched, she's having an affair with her own father, having an affair with her own brother, or with her own son, and there's no isa yichud there. So he warns his wife, I'm choshed you biznus, al tisri mishploni. Don't stay alone with that person. So strictly speaking, she's mutter to be alone. There's no isa yichud with her brother, her father, her son. So even though there's no isa yichud, but if the husband warned her in advance, that's called kinu yastira. So she becomes asura al-bailam. We mentioned a few times that stira doesn't always correspond to yichud. Here there's a heta yichud with your father and your brother. There's a heta yichud, but it's still called stira to aser. Or sometimes you have an isa yichud, but it's not called stira. Let's say you have 100 people working in an office. At the end of the day, 98 people left. Each one leaves at a different time. And two people are left behind. One is a man, one is a woman. So there is an isa yichud, but that's not called stira. Stira, that's what David Nezer quotes from the Balatanya. Stira is only if the man and the woman went into the room together. But if there are 100 people there and everybody leaves and you're left with two at the end, that's not called stira. So there's a difference between yichud and stira, lahokal an lahachma, in both directions. So the Mishnah says, they call her eyes mekanim. The husband is choshed his wife that she's having an affair with her brother or with her father. It's also a din of kinah stira. She becomes asur. Chutz min akaton, unless he's choshed that the wife is having an affair with a katon. Katon usually means before bar mitzvah. So here there's going to be a machlokes. We're going to learn the Gemara. Doesn't mean before bar mitzvah. Doesn't mean before the age of nine. Before the age of nine, al pidin is ein biyosavia. So that we understand why it does nasa. Before bar mitzvah, that's problematic. Why should it not asa? If ben teisha is biyosavia, so it should asa. So we'll have to see in the Gemara when that machlokes comes up. Or if the husband is choshed, his wife is nus, misheino ish. Husband thinks that the wife is practicing Mishka Behema. So even if she does practice Mishka Behema, she does not become Asur al Bailam. So if the husband is choshed that his wife is practicing Mishka Behema, is having Tashmish, Mimishainu Ish, so then there's no din of Hashkoa Sasoito. It only applies if he's choshed that she's having Znus with a human being, with a goy, with a godel, okay, with an erva. Okay. We'll stop here. We'll leave that next week. Oh, next week is what? Is Lel Purim. Uh-huh. Okay. So we should have discussed Lel Purim tonight. Okay. I found. Well, next week is what?
No.
Thursday. Oh, Thursday. Oh, okay. So we'll discuss in Yanni Purim next week. Okay. Good. Yeah. This past week I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I enjoyed every minute except for Thursday night one of the Israeli Rabbanim came to visit me in the yeshiva. I was in the yeshiva building in the dormitory, and he showed me newspaper articles about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a whole new movement, young Musmachim in Eretz Yisrael. They want to act cool. So they want to watch movies and tell over in their drushes. They want to incorporate ideas from the movies into their drushes. And they want to wear jeans to be cool with the balabatim. They think that they'll have a better hashpah on the balabatim. And they're not going to be so medactic in all the mitzvahs. they think this mitzvah is going to cause problems, so we don't have to care. And everything that pin on Rabbi Soloveitchik. The people never saw Rabbi Soloveitchik, they never heard a shiur from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Everything is from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So I was just thinking, there's a famous comment that Rashi has in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. The Parsha begins with the Big Day Kuhuna. So Rashi says, you have to make Eifod. Choshen Eifod Me'il, all these Big Day Kuhuna. So Rashi says, Lo Shamaita V'lo Matzase B'Braisa D'Malachas HaMishkan Tavnisa. Says, I don't have a tradition, what the Eifod looks like. And in there's a Braisa Malachas HaMishkan from the days of the Tanoim. It doesn't describe exactly what the Beged looks like. The Libi Oimali, Rashi says, I have a hunch. I think that it's this. And he starts giving a whole description of some kind of a garment that the women used to ride horseback in France, what it looked like.
How do you look?
That's another question. How did Rashi look at the women? Okay. So the belt says that Rashi was obviously a woman. Obviously, that's why you say in Yiddish, Zok di Rashi. Di Rashi means Lashon Nekev. You don't say De Rashi. Di Rashi. Okay, that's in Yiddish folklore. They say Rashi was a woman, otherwise he wouldn't be looking at the women. Okay. So the Welt has, in Yiddish folklore, they have a lot of jokes, but a lot of the jokes have a kernel of truth. So Makshim Hoylem in the Welt fragt Akasha, how can Rashi say Vili B'yoymali? But it says in Kriyashma, you're not allowed to follow your heart. So the Pashta says that the Kasha is a joke. Losur Al-Havachem means if you have a desire to worship Avodah Zarah, so don't worship Avodah Zarah. That's the Pashat. So in Yiddish folklore they say, La Susurach Levavchem doesn't apply to Rashi, because Rashi fulfilled the Pasuk in Mishlei, Kosvei Maluach Libecho. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, you should learn Torah, you should engrave the Torah on your heart. You should always be so full of Torah. So if your heart is all full of Torah, so Li B'Yomali, that's a wonderful thing. Your heart is a heart of Torah, so Li B'Yomali is fine. So this, I remember, Rabbi Holzer, should have a refuah shleima. Rabbi Holzer, for many years, was the chairman of the Vada Kashrus of the Rabbinical Council of America with respect to the Kashrus of the OU. So I remember one occasion in the last years of Rabbi Soloveitchik's life, when he wasn't well, he wasn't shy to discuss something with him. Rabbi Holzer once called me up on the phone and he asked me a shaila and din. What's something in Kashrus? What's the din? So I said, I don't know, I'll have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. So he says, but what do you think the din is before you look it up? So I said, I have no idea, I'll have to look it up. But before you look it up, what do you think that keeps on asking? So I said, I don't know, I'll have to look it up. But he says, when I always used to ask the Rav, the Rav would always say, I have a hunch, I have an intuition the din is like that. I say, that was the Rav. The Rav is like Rashi. The Rav can say, Libi Oymali. The Rav is full of Torah. This was a long time ago. This was 35 years ago. So I said, the Rav is full of Torah. So Libi Oymali meant something by him. By another person, his heart, he didn't yet fulfill the mitzvah of Kosma Luch Lebecha. Libi Oymali is a problem. Your intuition is going to tell you what the din is. If your heart is not full of Torah, so your intuition may be mistaken also. So the Rav said, I remember in Shir he spoke about it, the great Gedolim, when he delivered the Hesped when his uncle passed away, Rav Elvela passed away. So part of the Hesped was, it says in the Pasuk, Torah Tzivalon HaMoshe Meirosha Kihilas Yankim. The Torah is a Yerusha for all of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara has a Darshan, a Drosha, a play on words. Torah Tzivalon HaMoshe Meirosha means a Yerusha, Miloshen Meirosha. Every Jew is married to the Torah. Every Jew has Erisin with the Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik's theme was, every balabos has erisin with the Torah, but great geonim have nisuin with the Torah. There's a difference between erisin and nisuin. So he gave a mashal. He said, when I first met my wife and we got married, so I had my opinion, she had her opinion. After being married for many years, you already know your wife's mahalach ha-machshava. Whenever any issue comes up, you can already tell in advance what her reaction is going to be to everything. You already know. So he said, great goyim. He said, my uncle, Rav Elvela, was a great goyim. He didn't only have erisin. He had nisuin with the Torah. He was so married to the Torah, he knew already by intuition what the Torah is going to say. Didn't have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. He had a feeling what it's going to say. So he he pointed out the Ravid's opinion is in Pagina Dibura that there's a difference between a psul baldovar as opposed to a psul edus of a Karav or a Rasha. A baldovar doesn't have a shame made at all. So the Ravid learns in the Gemara, that's how you have to read, according to the Ravid, a couple that's married with Nisuin, that's called baldovar. Bal ki ishta is considered baldovar, considered chad. If it's only erisin, so the husband and the wife are kroivim. If they have an Nisuin, so it's more than Kreifim. It's considered Mamish. Balki Ishta, it's considered a Baldova Mamish. So Rav Soloveitchik said the great Gedolim, when they used to have a Shaila, they didn't first look it up in Shulchan Aruch. They knew so much Halacha, they would have an intuition what they think the din is. And then they would paskin based on the intuition. There's a famous sefer that's called Chut HaMeshulosh. It has the stories of the three generations, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and his son-in-law was the Chassam Sefer, and his son was the Ksav Sefer. So this sefer is written by the son, by one of the sons of the Ksav Sefer, and he has all the family stories. Stories about Rabbi Kivega, stories about his grandfather, the Chassam Sofer, stories about his father, the Ksav Sofer. So one of the stories they have is that when the Chassam Sofer used to write tshuvas, he wrote many, many, many tshuvas. He published so many tshuvas. So he wrote a tshuva so he would always leave it on the table, and he would ask his son, the Ksav Sofer, to read it over, and if he agreed, he should mail it. And if he doesn't agree, he should tell him that he doesn't agree. So the son was always embarrassed to tell the father he doesn't agree, so if he didn't agree, he would leave it on the table for a couple of days till the father would ask him, why'd you leave the tshuva, you didn't mail it? So he would say, because he thinks that over here there's what the din is, they would negotiate, so then the Ksav Sofer would sometimes touch up the tshuva. So on one occasion, the Ksav Sofer read the tshuva and he didn't mail it, so the father asked, how come he didn't mail the tshuva? So he said, the one who sent the shaila was a very big Talmid Chacham, and you wrote in the tshuva a flimsy raya. You wrote what you think the din is, and you didn't really give a good raya. The Talmid Chacham also knows flimsy rayas. He's a big learned person. You have to give him a better raya than that. So in the official biography, it says the Chassam Sofer made the following remark. He said, in every generation, the Rebbe Shalom gives the mafteach ha-psak, he gives the key to psak to one individual. He should be the Poisek Gadar. So he felt, the Chassam Sofer said about himself, he feels in this generation, I have the mafteach ha-psak. And then he said, the main koyach ha-psak is based on intuition. It's not based on rayas from the Gemara. My muskel rishon, when I get a shaila, my muskel rishon is always what I think the din is. I go fishing around in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch to see whether my muskel rishon, whether my intuition is correct or not. So he says, over here, my intuition was that that's the din. And even if the raya, even if there's no raya, my intuition, that's the halacha. The halacha is what I thought to. So Rav Soloveitchik said that this is, he didn't say over the story for Nachsam Sofer, but it's the same thing. He said all the great goyim, when they had a shaila, they would paskan based on their intuition. So this is what they had an article in a newspaper, that these young rabbanim, who never met Rav Soloveitchik, don't know anything about him, somehow they picked up that Rav Soloveitchik was like a conservative rabbi. That anything goes. If your intuition has it that you shouldn't observe a certain din, so you just do away with that din. Rabbi Soloveitchik would wear jeans. Rabbi Soloveitchik would wear, he would recommend that a rabbi should wear jeans. Rabbi Soloveitchik would recommend you don't observe everything in Shulchan Aruch. The Rav was crazy meshugaf tight for every minig in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch has a minig, the Mishnah Berurah says it's already 600 years, nobody observes the minig. Rabbi Soloveitchik, what do you mean? Shulchan Aruch quotes a minig, you gotta observe the minig. He used to observe every minig that nobody observes today. Unless he felt that is a minig shtus, in every generation you have to determine that any given minig is a minig shtus or not. This is tremendously dangerous. This idea that the Talmid HaChachamim should paskin based on their intuition, this in Yiddish folklore they say Rashi has the right to say Libi Yomali, because Rashi fulfilled the instruction of Shlomo HaMelech, Kasva Maluach Libecha, but for a person who's wet behind the ears, he's not yet fulfilled Kasma Luch Libech. What do you mean, Libay Mali? That's exactly the Pasuk. Maybe your intuition is totally wrong. I remember when I was learning Gemara with my Chavrusa, so we learned, I remember, a certain Sugya in Yevamos. Then we looked through the Shulchan Aruch, then the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Tshuva, Rab Chaim Olozhin, so we went through the Tshuva, and we felt we knew everything there was to know on that topic. And then we figured we're going to test ourselves, we're going to look in Rab Moshe's Shailas, we looked in Digras Moshe, we read the Shaila, and we decided what the Tshuva should be. So then we looked, what does Rab Moshe say? He quotes a Gemara in Bchoris we never heard of. No one ever quoted, we had never learned Bchoris at that time. Quotes a Gemara no one ever quoted, and he says, based on that Gemara, the din should be different from the way we figured it out. The answer is, you're not entitled to have intuition before you know Kol HaTorah Kula. There may be a Gemara that you never heard of. The Gemara is not so mesudadik. The Gemara is all over the place. So there may be some favar for the Gemara somewhere in Bchoris that's relevant to your Shaila, even though the Poskim never quoted it. It's very unfortunate when a few years ago, about 8-9 years ago, when Nari Helfgott published a collection of letters written by Rav Soloveitchik. So some of the letters are very strong. There's one letter there he wrote to Rabbi Teddy Adams when he was the president of the Rabbinical Council of America. So he said, you should send a letter to the Jewish Publication Society in Philadelphia. Tell them why we're not going to use their translation of the Bible, and tell them outright because it has apikursis. And don't be wishy-washy about it. Tell them often, we can't use their translation because it has apikursis in it. So one of the rabbis, one of the people read this letter. It was printed just a few years ago. So he called up Rabbi Soloveitchik's daughter, Mrs. Tversky. He says, I never realized your father was an Orthodox rabbi. They never realized Rabbi Soloveitchik was an Orthodox rabbi. I'll tell you, an Orthodox rabbi. He was a kanoi. They write in the letter that it's apikursis, but not going to accept. See, here it's in Eretz Yisrael that people, they never saw Rabbi Soloveitchik. They're not the one he stands for. They just read some of his Divrei Mehashkafa, which they don't understand. All of Rabbi Soloveitchik's Hashkafa was based on his halacha. If he didn't understand the halacha, he didn't understand his Hashkafa. Rav Kook has such an essay. Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, has an essay. Hashkafa should really be based on halacha. It shouldn't be based on agadata. Because agadata, we don't have a tradition how to interpret. And the Kendrein Vimivil. Halacha, we know what the din is. Yalav Yavai, Dominic, Tzitzis, Tvilim, Shem, we know what the din is. So better is Hashkafa should be based on halacha. So one of the prominent Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael pointed out, that's what Rav Kook writes, but he himself rarely does that. He said the one who really did that was Rav Soloveitchik. He did it a lot. He used to, every year on the Yortzeit, he used to give a long drasha for 4 hours. He used to give halacha 2 hours. And then I got it based on the halacha. He would develop Hashkaf idea that was based on the halacha. So if the people who didn't understand Rav Soloveitchik's halacha, they never heard of any. These people, they never saw Rav Soloveitchik, never heard anything. How can they possibly understand the Hashkafa? He used a terminology that it's unique. He had his own vocabulary, had his own expressions based on halacha, based on Gemara. I remember once there was at an OU weekend. So one of the younger rabbanim was speaking about the hesped that Rav Soloveitchik delivered when Rav Chaim Moshe passed away. A famous hesped about Das Torah. So in the hesped, which Rav Soloveitchik himself wrote up, so he used an expression there, Lemachza Lishlish V'Lerviya. A common expression in the Gemara. So the rabbi who was giving an assessment of the Hesped never heard that expression. So he mentioned he doesn't know how to read that line, doesn't know how to translate that. One who doesn't know Gemara well, one who doesn't know Rav Soloveitchik's style in Gemara, will never understand this Hashkafa. So you have in Eretz Yisrael a new door, Vayokam Dor Chorosh HaShalayadaz Yosef. They never saw Rav Soloveitchik. And all of a sudden they think he was a conservative rabbi. And just like his intuition was good, so everybody's intuition is good. It's scandalous. As I said, the whole week that I spent in Eretz Yisrael was wonderful, except for last Thursday night. It just aggravated me all night long.